This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's funny to think that just over a year ago, blockchain was being talked about as some kind of miracle tech that could solve all the world's problems in terms of digital transactions and record keeping. Everyone started throwing the word around, and companies started talking about it without fully understanding how it worked. Fast forward to 2019, and blockchain isn't a very popular buzzword anymore. If it was fashion, it would be so 2017. But here's where it gets interesting. This is where the real work starts, and it's where people like Michael Newcomb define exactly what and where blockchain can be applied without all the fluff and jargon and hype. See, Michael is the founder of a company called Traversal. It uses blockchain and it develops applications that act as an interface for the loading, retailing, and distribution of travel products. The company basically wants to address the shortcomings in the travel industry by treating travel as a service, or TRAS, T-R-A-A-S, and by removing the middleman, thereby lowering cost and giving business owners better control over their workflow. Full disclosure though, this interview took place at the Web and Travel Summit, so it gets a bit noisy in the background with people moving in and out, so just don't mind them.
Traversal. So I'm Michael from Traversal, and I'm the co-founder.
Okay, first, since it hasn't been in the zeitgeist for about a year, let's refresh everyone's memory. Like, what is blockchain?
It's a matter of record. Like, that's what a blockchain is. Like, let's call it simply. It's a fancy word for a database, right? And you know, it has certain characteristics of a database. So immutability is one. So it can't be copied. Can't erase it. Trust is another aspect of it. So you know, all of a sudden, you've got a situation where people could effectively interact. Now, I think interact's a good word, without necessarily having a third party in the middle of that. And the other characteristic of a blockchain is that it is open, right? So it is open to anyone, and it can be viewed and added to and corrected to. You know, it doesn't get corrected because it's a blockchain, by any particular people. So it's an open system. And so there's certain elements of that that are really interesting to us, and the thing that attracted us to this particular technology was this concept of trustless. Right? The irony is it's not trustless. It's still there's an implied trust is the way you look at it, but the ability to actually suddenly have an individual such as yourself and myself to actually conduct business across a distance, without necessarily having to rely on someone else to be that broker in the middle. And that became really interesting to us.
Okay, so with that out of the way, second, what is Traversal and what does it have to do with blockchain?
Traversal? What are we?
Yeah.
And this is where we're going to sound somewhat ironic to what I was just talking about. We are a content distribution platform. That is what we are. So we're working with airlines, particularly, to enable them to sell more product in a more cost-effective fashion. So historically, you've seen airlines just sell seats. They've branched out, like AirAsia, for example, in your neck of the woods, has branched out and sells other services. But they haven't done it particularly well. So, and they've either relied on someone else to do it, or, they haven't really done it effectively. And so what we started to explore with this particular concept of Traversal is how can we get people that what we call grassroots suppliers that don't necessarily have the technical capability or the financial wherewithal to surface their products and get them into a better system of distribution. So it might be, for example, someone doing a simple food tour in KL, and she has a wonderful product, but not a lot of people know about it. They might sit on TripAdvisor or they might sit somewhere else, but maintaining that and getting their presence and getting them noticed is quite expensive. You have to spend a lot of money on Google AdWords and things like that in order to float your product. Whereas airlines, for example, have a captive audience. People are traveling. And so how could we potentially give someone that has a really cool product that opportunity to sell and distribute their product in a broader ecosystem without having all of those people in the middle. Now, the irony of this is that we're building a platform which puts us bang in the middle, but the philosophy underpinning what we're trying to do is really lower that cost of distribution. And, you know, our intention isn't to try and, you know, take transaction values and commissions on all the products. But, you know, our revenue model is a work in progress. But the philosophical intent is that we want anyone that has a quality product to be able to distribute that product in an airline ecosystem in a more effective and efficient fashion. And, you know, we have no intention to keep their data, harvest their data, remarket their data. What's theirs is theirs, and so they get their fair share on both parties. And so the benefit to an airline is they get to enhance that customer experience and have a better product offering for their consumers. And what it means for the supplier is that they get to, in a more cost-effective fashion, put their product where people are actively hunting and looking and have an inclination to buy. And that's, you know, that's where the whole concept came from.
Okay, so is that how blockchain sort of helps it?
Correct. So as I said, I wouldn't classify ourselves as a pure blockchain technology because we haven't put everything on chain. I think what we're endeavouring to do is, particularly there's another piece of blockchain technology that really interested us, and that technology was around smart contracts. And so one of the other fundamental problems we saw with travel in general was this concept of dynamic packaging. And so dynamic packaging, as we were talking about before with AirAsia, they sell additional products, but it's a fairly small amount of product. So the dynamic packaging is a theoretical concept in travel where you could take multiple products and put them together and create a new product, a product set. So again, from this technology, when we started to look at it around, okay, we can remove intermediaries, but then, you know, Vitalik Buterin started to push out Ethereum, and Ethereum was another iteration of, you know, the original blockchain core, the Bitcoin core, so the original blockchain, where he started to put this concept of layering on top around, you know, being able to have programmable contracts. We thought, well, that's actually quite interesting. How can we use that and start to take other products and put them together in order to create that? And so we've been spending a lot of time building out smart contracts. The challenge with smart contracts is, ironically, they are very dumb. They're very binary. So we've had to build a lot of smarts around the smart contracts. And we started to explore things like proxy smart contracts, so to be able to do things on behalf of someone else, delegated permissions, and a whole heap of stuff that hasn't existed. So we've been iterating and reviewing that, and also improving security around smart contracts and how we can deploy them for actual proper commercial use.
Why the travel space? Because, you know, it feels like this could be applied to like a number of different sectors.
That's a good question. I think going back to one, it's full of intermediaries. Like, there are a lot of intermediaries in travel, and you think about your own consumer journey in terms of, you know, I started in the low cost area, in the low cost space, and one of the things, a key premise of low cost was disintermediation, so selling direct. But it still exists, and so there's a lot of people taking a lot of cuts of different pies. And, you know, there's a lot of talk about what's called the global distribution systems, and they sit in the middle and they take their cut. So, you know, one, it was intermediary. It was a heavy industry that had intermediaries. Two is, I think, history, an artifact of history. If you have a look at myself and my team, all have a heavy travel background. And so it was somewhere where we had political capital and technical capital and also relationships that could be exploited or leveraged, for want of a better word. And so that kind of steered us to there. It also was a thing where we saw, in a previous life, I worked for Tourism Australia for nearly 4 years, and I ran the region. And one of the things that I learned in that process was that there's all these high-quality products out there, but they don't necessarily have an avenue to get to the consumer. But if you think about your own consumer journey, where do you typically start your search? And where does your search end? It always happens in the airline, right? You may come there from someone else, but ultimately you transact within that environment. You know, they own you as a customer. In your customer journey, when you're traveling, you don't think, I've booked on Expedia and I'm flying Expedia. You think, I've booked on Expedia, but I'm flying Singapore Airlines or whoever it may be. And so we see a convergence of factors that means that airlines are now looking to swim upstream and have a better diversification of portfolio and a better servicing their customers with a better product to enhance stickiness, but also to service their products better, their customers better, and also, you know, shift cost. So it can be done cheaper, so they're exploring how they can do it cheaper.
And what are some of the challenges with implementing blockchain? Like what are some of your roadblocks?
Well, they vary. So, I mean, right now we're almost at the end of closing out our seed round, and so that's been a long journey for us. I wouldn't say long; it's actually been quite abbreviated, but a lot of effort in order to get where we are. And I think, you know, as we started before we started recording, our conversation was around, you know, perceptions of blockchain. And so I think when we started looking for funding, we came in at the end of the hype cycle. And so everyone had done their biscuits and were tired and overhyped. So we had to look at, you know, how we demonstrated value in terms of what we are doing around the technology that we're looking to deploy. And so having those conversations and educating people that, hang on, distributed ledger or blockchain isn't just about ICOs, it isn't about this. These are other elements that it can do. That's been a fairly time-consuming and a significant challenge for us. I think the other piece has been finding capable people. This is nascent technology. So the things that we were talking about before in terms of smart contracts, proxy smart contracts, delegated permissions, we've had to invent this stuff, right? So having quality technical people that understand and have high skills and highly intelligent and cost-effective, that is a challenge. There's not a lot of people in this particular space. And so we've had to invest and train and learn in order to develop our knowledge in that space. I think they've probably been the two biggest challenges. I think we've been very fortunate in finding a partner that is willing to work with us and allow us to experiment in their sandbox, in a big sandbox, and share the view that things can be done differently and can be done, you know, more cost effective. And so we've been very lucky in that space, and that's sort of put us on a different path and a different trajectory.
We'll be back with more from Michael Newcomb, founder of Traversal, when we get back. Open for Business, BFM 89.9.
Being first matters. BFM 89.9.
Open for Business on BFM 89.9. And joining us this morning is Michael Newcomb, founder of Traversal, a company that's leveraging on blockchain to become the first native application developer in the travel tech space. Is blockchain still sexy, for lack of a better word? Because a year ago it was, and everyone is throwing it around like nobody's business, and those companies are gone now.
I think some of the gloss has come off, and I think that, you know, my partners and I spend a lot of time in the space, and we've attended a lot of conferences, and in fact, you know, one of my co-founders, Kevin, was at the Blockchain South Leadership Summit in Queenstown recently. And I think what we're starting to see is a lot of shift in terms of perhaps semantics is the best way to talk about it. The reality is when you look at how many products have actually deployed and how many products have actually been successful, it's pretty limited. And so I think a healthy dose of pragmatism has crept into the blockchain, you know, distributed ledger environment, where they're looking to, for want of a better way of putting it, to walk before they can run. And so on, you know, and investigating how you actually make it efficient and how you make it effective. So I think it's going to be a more of a staged process as opposed to this view that it was going to be a giant leap. And I think that was a key failing of it, in that I think certain individuals within the community drove a very purist view, and I think that's now been tempered. But that doesn't mean we don't share that fundamental philosophy that should the technology prevail, in the sense that you can have an open, you know, system and a platform where everything is visible and you've got safety measures around that and you can have high transaction speeds. Fantastic. We would love to see an environment like that.
You mentioned the seed funding round just now. So how do you get a message like this across to them? Like Traversal, like blockchain, which is new and unique and niche. You know, most people are still trying to grasp data and algorithms and AI, how do you build the confidence of investors with something like blockchain?
With a great deal of conviction, and also finding people that are like-minded. I think what we've learned in this process is it's not necessarily a question of money. It's more of a question of capability, alignment, and trust. And so finding those people that fit that sort of mechanism has been more important to us than finding the dollars. I think because, again, we're very fortunate to have a sophisticated partner that we're working with and that's giving us a fairly large sandbox to play in. That's lended us a high degree of credibility. So it's made those introductions and those first conversations significantly easier than it would be if we didn't have, you know, someone whose brand credibility that we could juxtapose next to or leverage. I think that's been very, very beneficial. But you know, it's never been a question of dollars, or it's never been a question of does this make sense. It's more been a question of fit across the board.
Where are you with Traversal at the moment? Because it's a company that's growing, right? It's in progress. So when do you think you'll hit that sweet spot?
I don't think we'll ever be in a comfort zone. I think, you know, we're lucky that we have our first customer on board, and that first customer is a very sizable customer. We have built out some other partnerships to help us. And right now, you know, for the next 6 to 12 months and the foreseeable future for us, it's really about product refinement. And so I think we're a benefit in that we can work with customers directly and get feedback and fine-tune and refine and work with them hand-in-hand to build, as opposed to sitting adjunct and doing this on our own without necessarily having that real-time base feedback. You know, for us, that's the next 6 to 12 months of just basically hardcore polish on terms of what we're doing. So we've built a proof of concept. We've convinced people that this is, you know, a good idea. We've convinced a customer that this is a good idea, and we've found alignment in that. And now it's taking that proof of concept and some of the theoretical stuff that we've been building and talking about, and now really starting to stress test that and put it together. And that's our next 6 months, 6 to 12 months. So I'd like us to be in a position in 6 to 12 months, you know, 12 months down the road, to have first revenue in the kitty. Which is strange because as a company, we've managed to find ways to earn revenue without actually having a product. And whether that's through referrals of people in terms of like TopTel or things like that. So we've found mechanisms to generate revenue for the company, but they haven't been associated with actually the core product of what we're actually building.
Okay. So once that happens, once you're at that point, what are the expansion plans?
Yeah, good question. So we're fortunate to work with a partner that has breadth and also has relationships with other airlines around the globe. And so they're already starting to make formal and informal introductions to us to other potential partners. One of our companies that we're talking to in terms of a seed investor, they also have another product in a slightly different stable, but also sits with a number of different other airlines as well. So we have a roadmap of growth that we can see that sits, you know, certainly within that airline space. The question is, do we get out of that airline space? I think that's something we're going to have to address, not in the near term, but I think, you know, 12, 18 months down the road when we feel comfortable in the space that we're in. Is this a big enough pond for us, or do we need to go bigger and look for other potential industries or industry verticals that we need to pursue? We're not even thinking about that at the moment. We're thinking about heads down, bum up and build, or finish building, I think is probably the better way to describe it.
Blockchain and the tech that you're using, the tech that you're implementing, the tech that you're working with, it's so new and untested. What made you go, we can do this? You know, like, what is that aha moment that showed you that this is sustainable tech?
Yeah, it goes back to what we were talking about before, is that the ability to give someone cost-effective distribution, right? To suddenly take someone out of the picture that, you know, was providing a service without necessarily adding value. I think that, to me, was really, really powerful. And then you tie that to an actual story. And so there's a guy I know who runs a company on the Gold Coast in Australia called Richie Cunningham, and he runs a company called Fire for Hire. And it's a wonderful little product. And what he's done is he's converted fire engines, old Finders, reconditioned them, converted them, and turned them into like limousines and taxis to take people from the airports to, you know, their destination, or take people for, you know, to hotels or wherever it may be. Now, this is a guy that, you know, cannot get his product in certain channels because he doesn't have financial or technical capability to do it. And so to be able to get someone like that and give him the tools to be able to say, right, we can get your product there and we can connect you with people, I found that to be quite, you know, a nice story. And it was something that, you know, we talk about grassroots, and it was something that we felt very strongly with. How do we give people the opportunity that are working really hard to actually amplify their product in another way? And that's really what drove us down this particular path. And we could probably do it with different technology, but we like the challenge that the tech provides us. And again, you know, when I talk about dynamic packaging, we saw the technology is potentially providing a mechanism to do that in another way, in something that has fundamentally failed. And so, you know, that's currently our focus, in making sure we get that to work.
You can learn more about Traversal and its progress by checking out traversal.com. And of course, if you'd like to listen to this interview again, just do it via podcast on the BFM app. Or if you have Spotify, then we are there as well. We are parked under the podcast section. By the way, speaking of founders and innovators and people doing very creative things, we've lined up panels of some pretty prominent players in the retail scene for this year's Enterprise Rocks. It's happening on the 14th of March at Nexus Bangsa South. Benjamin Yong of The Big Group, he's going to be there. Melissa Lau of My Creative Ventures, she'll be there as well. And Red Army Watches, Juliana Chai of Red Army Watches, she's going to be there too. So it's all about crafting a rockstar retail experience this year. So head on over to bfm.my/rocks. To get yourself some tickets to the event. This has been Arvind Yuvraj with Michael Newcomb of Traversal on Open for Business, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.